This is your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Wallace Kleindienst, and this is Northland Views. I'll be reading today from the White Mountain Independent. And from Sholo Pinetop, the first headline, Arizona's 108th Army Band, part of Independence Day celebrations. An article by Jay Zucker of the Rotary Club of the White Mountains. The Arizona National Guard's 108th Army Band, based at Papago Park Military Reservation in Phoenix, continues to uphold more than a century of tradition, service, and musical excellence. Composed of over 35 citizen soldiers, the band represents the spirit and strength of Arizona through performances that honor both heritage and community. Founded in 1913 as the band 1st Regiment Infantry, the 108th Army Band has served in major moments of American history, including both World Wars. Originally assigned to the 158th Infantry Regiment, famously known as the Bushmasters, the band earned recognition for supporting one of World War II's most celebrated combat units. Throughout its history, the unit has undergone several reorganizations, most notably the 108th Army Ground Forces Band in 1944, and later adopting its current designation, the 108th Army Band, in 1947. Today, the band's citizen soldiers balance their military service with civilian careers as teachers, musicians, students, computer programmers, small business owners, construction workers, and more. Their shared commitment to music and country is evident in every performance. In addition to its traditional roles as a concert and ceremonial band, the 108th also features a variety of smaller musical ensembles, including jazz and Dixieland groups, rock and country and brass and woodwind ensembles. Notably, the Army Rock and Country Band performs regularly in communities across Arizona, bringing energy, patriotism, and connection to audiences statewide. The following is scheduled for the White Mountain area. The band will be playing from noon to 2 p.m. on July 3rd at The House in Sholo. From noon to 2 p.m. on July 4th at The Orchard at Charlie Clark's in Pinetop. From 6 to 7 p.m. on July 4th at the Sholo Fireworks on Cougar Lane at Sholo High School. From 4 to 7 p.m. on July 5th at the Pinetop Lakes Country Club, and from 1 to 4 p.m. on July 6th at the Lion's Den in Pinetop. And from Snowflake Taylor, we have the headline, Snowflake Taylor Police Release Names of Victims in Shooting. Story on June 16th. The Snowflake Taylor Police Department has released the names of the two victims in a shooting investigation. The victims have been identified as Troy Templeton, age 62, and Cynthia Templeton, age 53, both of Taylor. According to police, the investigation is ongoing. Officers will remain in the area Monday night until the crime scene has been completely processed, which should be completed tomorrow. This is a tragic incident that has shaken our community. Our hearts go out to the loved ones of Troy and Cynthia during this incredibly difficult time, said Police Chief Robert Martin in a Facebook post. Martin said, "The senseless violence that took their lives has no place in our community, and we are committed to finding those responsible and bringing them to justice." Chief Martin said, "Snowflake Taylor Police Department detectives, along with detectives from the Arizona Department of Public Safety, Sholo Police Department, Navajo County Sheriff's Office, and Winslow Police Department are working to piece together what happened." He went on to say, "While we are still early in the investigation, we want the public to know that we are following several strong leads. We also urge anyone who may have information, no matter how small, to come forward. Your cooperation could be critical in helping us solve the case." And from Springerville, we have the headline, Rally Brings Dozen to Springerville for Protest, an article by Jen Morea. Nearly 75 citizens gathered at 2420 South Mountain Avenue in Springerville on June 14th to take part in the nationwide Hands Off No Kings rally, a coordinated event organized in opposition to President Donald Trump's policies. Organized by the Apache County Democrats and concerned citizens of Southern Apache County, the rally was part of a national day of action that took place in cities and towns across the country. Participants held signs reading, "No Kings in America," "Protect Democracy," "Hands Off Medicare," and "Honk If You Love Democracy," among others. "This is a critical moment for us to come together and make our voices heard," the event listing stated. Despite the political nature of the messaging, the event in Springerville remained peaceful and without incident. Protesters lined the sidewalks, many holding American flags along their signs. The mood was serious but cordial, with many attendees greeting one another and discussing a range of political issues. Only a small counter-protest presence, estimated between 3 and 5 individuals, was observed during the rally. At one point, a man across the street held a sign reading, "No Commie, Demo Rats." There were no reported confrontations or escalation. With temperatures rising under the late morning sun, protesters dispersed shortly after noon, many saying they felt more hopeful simply by showing up. "This isn't about red or blue," one attendee said. "It's about remembering who we are as a country." And for more news from Solo is the headline, "Retired Teacher and Wife Saved by Stranger in Early Morning House Fire," an article by Tony Gibbons. Retired teacher Jim Reedhead and his wife Tamara are crediting a stranger with saving their lives after an early morning house fire nearly engulfed their Solo home back on April 24th. "We were sound asleep a little after 6 in the morning, and then we heard someone pounding in the door," Reedhead said. "My wife smelled smoke, and then we saw flames coming up the side of the house. This man, Mr. Fish, was yelling, 'The house is on fire, get out.' That man was Michael Fish, a local maintenance construction worker and former wildland firefighter who happened to be driving by on his way back from an ATM that morning. Fish said, 'I usually get up early in the morning and have my coffee, but this morning I needed to go to the ATM. As I was driving, I noticed some smoke and thought, it's a red flag day. At first, I figured it was from construction, but the smoke kept getting worse. When I saw it turning black, I knew it was a serious fire." As Fish got closer, he realized the smoke was coming from a house directly behind the fire station in Solo. "I pulled up, ran over, and started pounding on the door," Fish said. "I kept pounding and pounding, but no one was answering. Inside, the dogs were barking, and finally a man opened the door. By then, I could see the whole side of the house was burning from the bottom to the top." Reedhead recalled that when he and his wife Tamara finally woke up, the flames were already coming in through the window, and by the time we got our shirts, pants, and shoes on, another officer was on scene getting our dogs out. "The fire trucks were already there when we stepped outside. The fire was above our bed in the attic on the east side of the house." Fish had already called 911 as he continued trying to get the couple's attention inside the house. "It was getting pretty hectic and scary," Fish said. "You could see it was getting into the house. Another 5 minutes and it could have trapped them. They were pretty fortunate." Michael Fish remained on the scene until the first officer arrived and the fire trucks pulled up. "I made sure everything was good and then I left," he said. "A couple days later, I drove back over just to check on everyone. And somebody said, 'Hey, it's our hero. But anyone would have done what I did. I'm just glad I could be of assistance. Things can be rebuilt. But lives, that's what you have to worry about.'" According to a Facebook post by Timber Mesa Fire and Medical District, multiple units responded to the fire, including Engine 15, Truck 14, Engine 17, Rescue 151, and Battalion 15. Crews arrived to find heavy fire on the right side of the home and quickly launched an aggressive interior attack, locating active flames in the attic space above the Reedhead's bedroom. The blaze was continued before it could consume the entire structure. If Michael hadn't called it in when he did, Reedhead said, it would have been a total loss. Although the fire didn't reach the main living space, the house suffered significant smoke and water damage. They're taking the house down to studs, Reedhead said. None of the contents were burned, but almost everything was ruined. Thankfully, our real keepsakes were in a secure storage room in the basement, and we have good insurance. The fire was traced to a heat lamp beneath the deck used to warm a chicken coop, something Reedhead has done for years without incident. I always hatched chicks for kids at school. It was just a habit. Same house, same setup for 28 years. For some reason, this year it malfunctioned. Reed taught in Arizona schools for 35 years, from 1979 to 2016, serving in Holbrook, Vernon, Clay Springs, and Sholo. From 1982 to 1984, he also served as Navajo County Superintendent of Schools after being appointed by the County Board of Supervisors. And for McNary, we have the headline, McNary Elementary Scores Improve, Renovations Underway. McNary Elementary School, whose proficiency scores 3 years ago were reported as being in the bottom 5% in statewide testing, has seen more improvement since then. We have now passed our academic improvement plan and our way to moving into the middle of the pack for the state, Superintendent and Principal Gregory Farrow wrote in a statement. This has been accomplished through the hard work and dedication of the staff. Our goal is to establish all students at or approaching grade level by the 2027 school year. The ongoing plans for improvement include individualized tutoring by certified teachers and computer-assisted tracking of student testing, growth, and mastery. McNary saw enrollment increase by 18% in the last year. School athletics are expanding as well. Volleyball, flag football, girls and boys basketball, track and field, along with co-ed slow-pitch softball, were offered this year at McNary Elementary School, Fowler said. We are looking to add wrestling and badminton for the upcoming 2025-26 school years. Facilities are also slated for improvement. The renovation of the school has started, and the large equipment at the school is moving dirt to ensure there is no more flooding of the gym or other buildings at the school, Fowler stated. New HVAC units will be placed in the cafeteria along with a new metal roofing for the school. The outside of the gym will have new siding added along with sidewalks being replaced. The gym floor is being replaced, and we are hoping that the upcoming volleyball season will be practicing and playing in our gym. You're tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona, and you're listening to Northland Views. Turning to Arizona news, the headline, House Budget Bill Could Hit Rural Health Care, an article by Peter Alshire. The U.S. House-approved budget, now before the U.S. Senate, could hit rural counties hard, driving up the share of the population without insurance and stressing already struggling rural hospitals. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that cuts could cost 15 million Americans coverage by the Affordable Care Act and the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System. Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs estimated the bill as adopted by the U.S. House would cut the number of people covered by AHCCCS or ACCESS by about 200,000. The bill imposes a strict work requirement. ACCESS costs $2 billion in Arizona. Enrollment has fallen 10% in the past year. Statewide, 26% of residents are insured through ACCESS. The stakes are especially high in rural counties like Gila, Navajo, and Apache counties, where between a third and a half of people get health care coverage through ACCESS, and about 60% of the children. Twice as large a share of the population in rural counties relies on access compared to urban counties. Here's the access coverage as of May of this year for those three counties. Navajo County, access covers 46% of the 110,000 residents. Apache County, access covers 52% of the 65,000 residents. Gila County, access covers 32% of the population. Funding cuts may also have a big effect on rural hospitals by driving up the number of uninsured patients seeking care. Hospitals with emergency rooms are required to provide medical care to patients in an emergency, but often have a hard time getting reimbursed. Hospital officials from rural counties joined Governor Hobbs in a press conference to sound the alarm about the cuts, according to a story by Howard Fisher with Capital Media Services. Dave Cheney, CEO of Northern Arizona Healthcare, said the situation goes beyond lost revenues for rural operations like his. "I'm not sure how many rural hospitals would survive," Cheney said. And Neil Jensen, CEO of Cobra Valley Regional Medical Center, said the effects on facilities like his in Globe could be dire. He said that pregnant women who now come to his hospital would otherwise have to drive 90 minutes to the Phoenix metro area. "I think about the mothers we probably would have lost last year if we didn't have a hospital," Neil Jensen said, according to the Capital Media Services coverage of the press conference. Governor Hobbs says she does not object to a work requirement for the able-bodied, and Arizona has applied for permission to apply its own version of a work requirement. However, the rules in the U.S. House bill are so strict, included repeated submission of documentation, that many people would lose health care for paperwork problems. Prospects for passage of the measure in the U.S. Senate remain unclear. Democrats remain in unified opposition, and Republicans are fragmented. Some maintain the budget bill would add too much to the deficit and are calling for deeper spending cuts. Some maintain that the cuts to things like Medicare and the Affordable Care Act are too deep. Access plays a key role in the healthcare system, especially in rural counties. It covers most prenatal care and births, as well as coverage for the disabled and for nursing home residents. The CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, said the changes in access and the Affordable Care Act could result in a roughly 12% reduction in the number of people covered, which would likely add up to several thousand people losing coverage in each of the three northern Arizona counties. Extension of the soon-to-expire Trump tax would balloon the deficit by more than $4 trillion over the next decade. The CBO estimates that the proposed cuts would reduce the effect on the deficit to $2.5 trillion. Congressman Eli Crane, a deficit hawk, reluctantly voted in favor of the House budget resolution, though he wants bigger reductions in the deficit. Crane represents Rim Country and the White Mountains in Congress. Arizona Republican candidates like Andy Biggs are especially vulnerable. Biggs supports cuts in access, which polls suggest are opposed by 70% of the voters. Biggs is running in the Republican primary for governor. And news from Heber Overgaard is the headline, "Heber Overgaard Plans Independence Day Celebration," an article by Sam Stork. It's almost time for the biggest celebration of the year in Heber Overgaard, the all-in Independence Day celebration. In the past, hundreds if not thousands of people have flocked to the Tall Timbers Park in the heart of Heber Overgaard for the spectacular fireworks display and to take part in the evening activities. This year, the festivities are on the weekend of July 5th and 6th. Kicking off the weekend with a bang early Saturday morning, the much-loved parade will start at 9 in the morning along State Route 260, all the way down to Tall Timbers Park, the center of the celebrations. The road will be closed for the event beginning at 8:30 that morning. At the park, the festivities will continue with live music from local favorites Bobby Joe Bell and Cody Gibson, setting the perfect tone for a summer day in the pines. With a bounce house for the kids, graft and food vendors, and a lively beer garden, there's something for everyone to enjoy as the community and visitors come together to celebrate our nation's birthday. The grand finale for Saturday begins at 9 in the morning and is slated to be a spectacular fireworks show lighting up the sky, hosted at Mugian High School. The fireworks are pending final approval from Navajo County and the Forest Service, but rain or shine, the community is optimistic the skies will be lit with glitter of fireworks. Sunday, the community will continue the fun at the park with live music from local favorite, the Chris Kane Trio, who will keep the party going as attendees continue enjoying the food, vendors, beer garden, and activities. And news from St. John's is the headline, Apache County's Potential Highlighted in Geigel's Nuclear Pitch, an article by Jen Moreo. Apache County's energy future got a nod on the national stage this week as United States Senator Ruben Gallego spotlighted the Coronado Generating Station in a Fox News opinion piece. In the column, Senator Gallego reaffirmed his commitment to nuclear energy and called for a shift in federal priorities to support small modular reactors, positioning rural communities like those in northeastern Arizona as key players in the next wave of clean energy innovation. Senator Gallego's editorial emphasized the importance of nuclear power in achieving long-term energy independence and sustainability, not just for Arizona, but for the nation. While the op-ed highlighted federal roadblocks and challenges to expanding nuclear infrastructure, Gallego's message also focused on the Coronado Generating Station, a coal-fired power plant in Apache County currently slated for closure. Gallego pointed to the CGS site as a prime candidate for transitioning into a small modular reactor facility, a move that could maintain higher-paying energy jobs, build upon existing infrastructure, and reinforce the region's role as a future energy hub. SRP appreciates Senator Gallego's support for nuclear energy and believes that advanced nuclear holds tremendous potential for meeting Arizona's future energy needs and supporting economic development, SRP said. Arizona Public Service, SRP, and Tucson Electric Power recently announced that the three utilities are jointly exploring the addition of new nuclear generation in Arizona. As part of this collaboration, they have applied for a grant from the U.S. Department of Energy to begin preliminary site exploration for future nuclear development. SRP welcomes Senator Gallego's continued engagement and focus on Arizona energy future. In an April visit to St. John's, Gallego met with local officials to discuss the region's growing importance in clean energy discussions. Apache County has emerged as a contender for a future small modular reactor site thanks to the infrastructure already in place at CGS, available transmission lines, and broad community support. And now, turning to news from the Payson Roundup, is the headline, Public Invited to Commemorate Dude Fire Anniversary This Month, an article by David Bola. It's been nearly 35 years since the Dude Fires quickly spread through a remote area of forest below the Mugian Rim, claiming 6 lives, 70-some structures, and nearly 30,000 acres of national forest land. Caused by a dry lightning strike on June 25, 1990, by the next day the catastrophic wildfire had grown to some 1,900 acres, threatening the forest subdivision of Bonita Creek Estates. On Thursday, June 26th, at 10 in the morning, speakers from the surviving members of the Perryview crew, U.S. Forest Service, Arizona Department of Forestry and Fire Management, and other dignitaries will gather to commemorate the disaster's 35th anniversary at the Dude Fire Monument in Bonita Creek Estates at 606 East Antelope Trail. Jeffrey Hatch, a Perryview crew member who survived the flames, despite suffering burns on 75% of his body, will be the keynote speaker. In total, 5 Perry crew members are expected to attend. Arizona Department of Forestry and Fire Management, along with the U.S. Forest Service, will speak about firewising efforts in the area and fire risk mitigation. There will also be an honor guard ceremony at the memorial site. Following the ceremony, attendees will gather for a barbecue lunch hosted by the Water Wheel Fire District Williams Auxiliary. All proceeds from the lunch will benefit the Water Wheel Fire Department and the Santa Ynida Foundation, which was created by Perry View crew survivors to help wildland firefighters cope with the trauma, stress, and unspoken battles that come with work. The public is invited to attend both the ceremony and the lunch. Obviously, we really want to extend that invitation out to all of our first responders and anybody who had anything to do with the Dude Fire. We'd really love to celebrate them, said Scott Biggs, who directed the film Prisoner of Fire, The Dude Fire Story. I'm your volunteer reader, Wallace Kleindienst, and this has been Northland Views. Thank you for listening, and have a great evening.